Okay, we be live. I'm here with Anna and Rivka. Hi, guys.
Hello, everyone. Oh, hi.
Hello. Hi.
And also, Roy is in the live chat complaining about the fact that Roy is not hosting. So Roy is saying, I'm not watching if Roy is not hosting. What's even the point? Well, Roy, I asked Roy to host, and Roy doesn't have the time right now. So I don't know what you're complaining about. Anyways, I see people are here. Seth is here. Tubelove is here. Roy is here. AXL is here. Okay, people are joining in. Patrick is here. No, Pratik. Yeah, so many. I can't read that name. Anyways, so I saw this video on Twitter. Well, not this one. This one. And this is a new video from this Hamas leader. Do you guys know this guy? Do you guys know his name? He's
Is it Khaled Mashad or something like that?
Yes. Can you explain the significance of this guy? He's the Hamas leader. And he had some videos early after October 7th mentioning how amazing this event was and, celebrating it and saying that this is a new thing. But now he just recently, this is a new video of this Hamas leader. And I want to show more Hamas leader videos here because a lot of people think that we're misrepresenting Hamas and their goals and how anti-Semitic they are. And their goal is like the destruction of entire Israel. They think sometimes on our show that we're exaggerating these things. So I would like to sometimes maybe have videos of themselves just explaining what their ideology is and how much they're celebrating all these Westerners celebrating October 7th, celebrating Hamas, and, chants like River to the Sea, how much they also, it's not just us that is noticing a lot of witnesses being sympathetic to Islamic terrorists. Islamic terrorists are also noticing this as well, and they're acknowledging it, and they're celebrating it. But Rivka, do you want to say something?
Go on. Yeah, I also want to say that I've actually wanted to do this for a while, and I think we've shown a few, but one of the other things about showing them speaking about themselves and what's happening is you see the disdain they have for Palestinian civilians. I mean, they'll say it in their videos. So I think it's really important that we show some of those because this is them saying it, and they say it all the time, and they say it publicly.
Yes. Yeah, Rivka, I know that video where they asked them, like, why did you guys not build any bunkers in Gaza while you had all this cement and all this equipment to build these tunnels? How come you didn't build a single bunker so when they are being bombarded, at least some of your civilians could go into these bunkers? Like, not a single one. Not a single one. And they were like, oh, that's not our responsibility. That's the UN's responsibility. Like, okay, you guys don't care about your people, do you? Like, you don't give a crap about Palestinians. Anyways, I mean, it's so easy. Like, they say these things themselves. Go ahead, Anna.
I want to also add that he's one of the most influential and important Hamas leaders. And, like, I think he's the head of the Politburo of the Hamas. So basically his stances, his views, I think it's safe to say that we can see them as a representative of what Hamas stands for.
Guys, why did we just get demonetized? Hold on. We already got demonetized. What did we say?
Hamas.
I mean, I didn't say
I would say Hamas. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, so guys, we got demonetized already. I was just monitoring.
Is this a record? Is this a record?
No, no. We had a 2-minute one just recently. 2 minutes. So I'm going to request it. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to request a review. Guys, by the way, the way this works is that we got demonetized, even though we're just like 4 minutes into the show. And please, if you can, use Super Chats to, because I requested a review, but the review takes a couple of days for it to maybe give our monetization for the stream back. But again, by that time, most of the people who watch the stream, they watch it within the first 48 hours. So by that time, it doesn't really matter anymore. So if you guys want to support us, do these streams, because it doesn't make sense for us to do all these streams while every single one of them or most of them are getting demonetized. So the Super Chats really help us continue this show. Anyway, so let's see what this idiot has to say. Let's go to the beginning. So this is quite recent. Like, this was like just 2 days ago, I think. So he says, even some of our supporters were worried that ruling Gaza would change us. Oh, we got a super chat. We got a $2 Canadian super chat, but I can't read this. What does it say, Anna?
It says demonetization sucks, like with Hebrew letters.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much from Canada. Appreciate that. All right, let's continue. Okay, they did not realize. So he's saying that even some of the people, some of their own supporters in Gaza, they were worried that if we rule over Gaza, that's going to change our, like, change us. They did not realize that coming to power was a necessity. In order to serve the people and to protect the resistance. Yes, by the way, serving the people. These are the same people who steal the food from humanitarian organizations trying to get aid and medicine and water and food into Gaza. These are the same people who take that and sell it back, you know, triple the price to the people in Gaza. These are the same people who take the water pipes that, you know, Israel uses to send free water to Gaza. These are the same people who dig those water pipes out of the ground and turn them into rockets to throw at Israel. Okay, so I said it provided a political and administrative cover in all the Palestinian institutions. Okay. And gave the resistance a free hand to operate. Okay. So again, this is he's confirming that they're a terrorist organization. By becoming a government and becoming a state, they now had administrative access to a whole bunch of things to be able to do. So they're a resistance. When they say resistance, they mean terrorists. They're a terrorist organization first, you know, pretending to be a state. Okay, so we have used our rule of Gaza. Yeah, so see, the purpose is not to rule Gaza. The purpose is terrorism. The ruling Gaza is an excuse. See, when he says a lot of our supporters were worried about that, like they were, because they were supposed to be, you know, a resistance movement. And then when they came ruled over Gaza, a lot of their supporters were like, wait a minute. We need to be the resistance, not the rulers. And he's saying, no, us ruling over Gaza helped with that. Okay, so to build up the resistance with all its means, the weapons, the weapon production, the planning, the training, the tunnels. See, like, they're not using the ruling over Gaza to serve the people. You know, they're using, you know, the access over ruling Gaza to do all these things, these other things. The weapon, it doesn't, like, it's not about, you know, giving people their services, you know, their rights, all the things that you need as a civilian. None of that. The whole thing was the excuse for weapon production, for planning, for training, and building the tunnels. Like, again, this is what happens when you use the school system of your state to train people to be terrorists instead of actually educate them for a better future.
And money. A lot of money.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
A lot of money.
Yes. Okay, while our backs were safe. You know, oh, yeah. So another thing, because you're your state, you are less okay to attack, right? In other words, there was no security coordination. No Palestinian authority to persecute. Oh, so yeah. So because there was no other government, if they were not ruling, somebody else would be ruling over them, and they would have to worry about that. No one to stab you in the back.
يعني ما في طعنة بالضبط.
Hamas did not set its eye on ruling Gaza.
متشوفة للسلطة. حماس كانت
Hamas was looking for a ruling authority that would serve the resistance. Oh my God. This is such a self-owned. Like, why are you telling us this? Like, thank you for telling us. Like, what like we this is makes our job so this makes our job so much easier. The whole thing, Hamas was looking for a ruling authority that would serve the resistance. It's not about the people in Gaza. It's not about the Palestinians. It's just about the resistance. The whole thing about it is about, you know, terrorism. Authority under occupation is a mistake. That was the first mistake of the Oslo Accords. But since this authority has become, since 1994, I don't know what this word is.
Fait accompli. What does that mean? It means it sort of just happened. It did it already. You know, it's accomplished. The deed is done.
Okay. Okay. Due to the Oslo Accords. By the way, this is also confirms a lot of the things that we're saying, that these people do not agree with the Oslo Accords. Because a lot of people say, like, Hamas has agreed with the terms. Like, no, they're just using it temporarily, and they just want to overcome it. Like, they don't agree with it. They want to destroy it. They want to destroy the entirety of Israel. They don't recognize it. Hamas's philosophy when it entered the 2006 election. So 2006 was the elections that put Hamas in power in Gaza. Was that we wanted to subordinate this authority, which was already a fact on the ground. To the service of the people and of the resistance. Again, the whole service of the people part is bullcrap, because look at what's happening to the people in Gaza ever since Hamas has come into power. They have been nothing. They have been taking all the infrastructure of Gaza, all of it, as he admitted earlier, everything up from their power, from the access to the money, the access to the infrastructure of Gaza, has all gone to the direction of serving the resistance. And I think when he says service of the people, they think like fighting Israel is the service of the people, even if that will cause into their death, to the destruction, to lack of food, to lack of security, to lack of safety. All of that doesn't matter, because they think that Palestinian people, what serves them best is to fight Israel. Oh, by the way, guys, make sure you like the stream. Noah, give us 15 shekels. Thank you so much for the super chat and reminding everybody to make sure they like the stream. As soon as we won the 2006 election, we captured the Israeli soldier Shalit. And the prisoner swap deal was in 2011.
Right?
This was practical evidence that Hamas had subordinated its rule of Gaza to the service of the resistance. Like, he's like, don't worry, we're not going to just go mainstream like a government when we are in power. Like, that's not going to change us. We are going to do terrorism. Like, we did terrorism right when we became a state. From the very beginning, we started doing terrorism. I mean, he says resistance, I call it terrorism. Rather than giving up the resistance for the sake of this authority. Again, by the way, this also confirms that Hamas will never be an entity that you could deal with. And never an entity that you could do a ceasefire with. They are admitting that, you know, they're not going to change. They will always fight. They're not going to, it is within their DNA to continue fighting Israel. So if you ever think like this is a group of people that you could change, He, the leader himself, is telling you that no, this is to the very core, the whole purpose of this organization is the destruction of Israel. That's what the point is trying to say. Go on, Rivka.
I also want to make a point to further what you said. When he says to serve the people and the resistance, I don't think he means Gazan civilians. He means the people of Hamas, their families, their leaders, right. Because that's who they're serving. Also, while they're doing terrorism, they're also getting rich.
Yes, actually, that's a lot of people might not understand that. They think like you're making this up, but I know exactly what you mean because this is the exact same language that the Islamic Republic of Iran uses when they say people. The people said this. The people they want this. They don't mean the entirety of the people. People is just a code for our supporters, like when the Islamic Republic speaks, not like the entirety of the population. Yeah.
And you've heard from other Gazan civilians in videos that we have shown where they say that the Hamas supporters or the families of the Hamas leaders, they are the ones who get, you know, aid and they get money and they get all these things first before anyone else either. So yes, it's a code for their supporters, but it's also, I think they mean themselves, our people. You know, we're doing terrorism and we're making bank.
Right. So here's the part that it gets interesting, which now gets into the title, I think, of the video. So he's saying people are saying now that the October 7th war. has opened a new horizon for a vision of a political settlement. Here they pull out of their old merchandise of two-state solution. I would like to say two things about the two-state solution. By the way, before we hear what he has to say about the two-state solution, remember a lot of anti-Israel people have said that Hamas has accepted the two-state solution. Hamas has agreed with the Oslo Accords, and you are lying that Hamas was to destroy Israel. There was a point at time that even Hamas came and said that we will agree with the two-state solution. We said that's a lie. Hamas, at the same time that went out, at some point said that we temporarily will work with these conditions. They went back at the same time to the supporters. They told their supporters that don't worry, we are still committed to the destruction of Israel. We are just, you know, saying this internationally for political reasons, you know. That's what they said, and they were quite open about it to their own supporters when they did that. So now, if anybody thinks that Hamas ever, ever, ever is interested in peace and not the destruction of Israel and having a two-state solution, and maybe if you stop, you know, if you leave Gaza and the, you know, West Bank, you know, Hamas will be like, okay, now we could have peace with Israel and we wouldn't be attacking Jews. Let's see what he has to say about the two-state solution, right? So he says, I would like to say, oh, go on, Anna, go ahead.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, after the Oslo Accords, Hamas did a lot of terrorist attacks. So even if they came and said, we are pro the Oslo Accords, their actions suggest otherwise. This is what is beautiful with Hamas. They can agree with you on any treaty and not do it. Like, they are not bound to any rules.
Exactly. Okay, but even they didn't even say that. Like, they were quite transparent about what they really meant when they said that. But let's see what they think about the two-state solution here. Say, I would like to say two things about the two-state solution. First, we have nothing to do with the two-state solution. Okay, just remember this video every time somebody says that these people would maybe one day want peace. If you do a ceasefire, maybe if you stop this and this, maybe then Hamas will come to the table and there will be a two-state solution. We reject this notion. Because it means that you would get a promise for a Palestinian state.
لك دولة موعودة ومطلوب أيضا
yet you are required to recognize the legitimacy of the other state, which is the Zionist entity, right? So again, even if you know what he's saying? He's saying that even if we manage to finally get a Palestinian, an independent Palestinian country, if the price is to recognize Israel as a country, we would not want. So if you give Palestinian, again, when I say these people are anti-Palestinian, right? If you somehow, you know, could snap your finger and be like, what if I could give you this option that the Palestinian people would live in peace, prosperity, okay, security, hope for the future, you know, amazing, you know, well-being for everybody, health, education, all of that for all the Palestinian people in the West Bank and Gaza, right? And you have your own destiny. You could control your own destiny, right? You could control, you have your own government the exact way you want it. And you have your own politicians that democratically represent the Palestinian people. I will snap my fingers and give you all of that. But the only cost would be that you were like, okay, Israel can also be a country. I will recognize Israel as a country. I accept Israel to be a country. You will have all of that, and there will be no war between you, no war between Israel and Palestine, and you will get all of that, but Israel will also be a thing. Will you take this? They say no. None of this, all of the things that I told you is worth it if the price is that they have to accept that Israel is a thing. And this is why these people are anti-Palestinian, because they are making the Palestinian people suffer, because their priority is not the well-being of Palestinians. Their priority is the end of Israel. Rivka Danana.
That's exactly what Golda Meir said in like the late 50s or the 60s. She said that the quarrel isn't, it's about our right to exist. They simply don't think that we have the right to exist. She said this, you know, 50, 70 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. And I think it's pretty telling that they're willing to sacrifice everyone for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Go ahead, Anna.
You know, what really surprises me is between choosing, like having independent, like Palestine, and living as a normal independent country and continuing fighting Israel, they choose the latter. They choose fighting Israel. What I feel is that they don't really want at this stage to become an independent country, because if you are an independent country, you must be held accountable to your actions. You can't do terrorism. You can't put weapons inside hospitals. Like, you have to go through several conventions in order to be a recognizable country and that other countries would want to have any relationship with you, right? And if you want to continue doing terrorism or want to continue spreading war, just like maybe North Korea, then you will be cut off from the world. So this position that they are not a country and they can cry whenever Israel does something, please help us, we are dying here. This is a very beneficial position to them, because once they get the independence, the world would be less attracted to helping them. Right now they are looking weak because, oh, they are oppressed and don't have their own country. They are such poor people. This is, I feel they want to eternally stay like this until like Israel doesn't exist anymore, probably.
Yeah, they also get no more funding from the Islamic Republic of Iran if Israel becomes, like, if the war stops, right? That's the main source of their funding in it as well. All right, let's continue.
تعترف بالدولة الأخرى اللي هي الكيان الصهيوني. تعترف بشرعيته. فهذه
This is unacceptable. We demand to be liberated, okay, to get rid of this occupation. I don't know. So he said that we would, again, look at the way he thinks. He said that if you get a Palestinian state, we will not accept that as long as we have to recognize Israel as a country. This is unacceptable. We demand to be liberated. So they are not liberated as long as Israel is there. Even if Israel is another country and you're a country and there's no war, you do not see this as liberation. Your liberation only comes through the death of Israelis and the, you know, the end of Israel. That's what they see as liberation. Go on, Anna.
I want to add something very important. That actually, there are very little Arab countries in the Middle East where people are liberated. The only like place in this vicinity where Arabs have a lot of rights, including political freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all the freedoms you can think of, is Israel. Like, even if Israel wouldn't exist, the people in Palestine wouldn't be liberated because their internal oppressors are much stronger than that. Right now, okay, before the war, were Gazians free? Like, were they free to I don't know, be atheists or free to even not wear the hijab? It's like unacceptable in many families there, okay? Also, like, bars were closed. Also, in 2010, they closed the water park because people were, like, mangling together in the water park, and then they burned the water park. So it's not that... Yeah, it was actually a thing. I will show this later to you. Anyways, Israel didn't cause any of this to happen to Palestinians. It was Hamas. It was Hamas who closed the water park. It was Hamas who closed like bars, and it was Hamas who now controls the entire media and education. It is Hamas who is not letting these people to be free.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think he means to be liberated of Jews, to be liberated from, you know, having to live next door to these. And also, I mean, to Anna's point, if there ever were a Palestinian state, particularly under, you know, if the Hamas changed their tune and they decided they were going to run the state, I mean, there's a high probability that it would be anything but free, anything but, there would be anything but liberty for the citizens themselves.
By the way, I want to add that forever who wants to read about the water park, like it was a crazy water park, searching on Google. It was opened in 2010 and it was burned to a crisp in the same year. Like, this is how fast Hamas just closed it immediately after it was opened.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's watch the rest of this video. And to have our independence and our state. So the condition for them to have their independence and their state is for Israel not to be a state. Israel is my enemy. It is not my concern. What state are you talking about? A Palestinian state? So he's like, if you want an independent state, like, what is this? What Palestinian state? So he says, the journalist is asking him and the interviewer, and then he says, obviously the position of Hamas. So remember this part, because when many people are talking about free Palestine, okay, let's see what they mean by Palestine, because a lot of people support the idea of free Palestine, if they're talking about Israel becoming a nation state. And Palestine also being a nation state. I mean, I would like that. I would like a two-state solution for one day to that be a thing. I don't know if that's possible, but I would like that. I would like a free Palestine from Gaza and Israel being a nation state and Palestine being a nation state. But let's see what Hamas means. So obviously the position of Hamas is, and the position of the vast majority of the Palestinian people, okay, that's what he's saying. Especially following October 7th, I believe that the dream and the hope
فلسطين
for Palestine from the river to the sea and from the north to the south has been renewed. Okay, so from the river to the sea. So when he says, now you understand, when he says from the river to the sea, and when he says we cannot accept Israel to be, you know, we cannot recognize Israel as a nation state, we don't accept it. So when he's referring to a Palestinian state, he means all of it. He means the end of Israel. That's what he's referring to. From Shamal to Junub, from north to south, from river to the sea. This has also become, oh, this is the part. This has also become a slogan chanted in the US and in Western capital cities, right? So remember, guys, when you are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine should be free. This is Hamas using the political capital that you just gave him to say, like, see, it's not just the Palestinians who want the end of Israel. Westerners want them as well. So great job. So when people are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine should be free, some of them know what they're talking about and they're intentionally being genocidal. But also many of them have no clue what they're saying. And when we tell them that, okay, this is a genocidal chant, they're like, no. We're just talking about the free Palestine being free. What are you talking about? But here's the thing. Even if you don't intend to be genocidal with that chant, you are helping this genocidal terrorist gaining more political capital by having those chants in Western cities. Like, he's using your words. He's using your chants. Look at this. You've been used as a tool. Look at this. He said this has also become a slogan chanted in the U.S. and in Western capital cities. What a major win have you been for this Hamas leader by chanting this? Like, what? You are being used by terrorists to make their genocidal agenda come true. You have been used as a tool by this terrorist. Amazing. You play, like, I don't know if it's on purpose. I'll show you some videos of some people saying the exact same thing in Western countries. But go on, Anna.
I want to state that a lot of the Westerners, I think when they sing this, they say this chant, they think in their heads a free Palestine means a state for like both Jews and Arabs and everyone lives in a democratic state and everything is Ethiopian. And no, like here, he stated at the very beginning of this interview, he stated that he had free hand to operate. Okay, he was free from Israel because Israel retrieved in 2005. He was also free from the Palestinian Authority because they lost in the 2006 elections, and in 2007, like, they killed a bunch of Fatah people, so they had no political rivals. So they had the free hand to do whatever they want in Gaza, like complete freedom and independence in Gaza to do whatever they want with it. Yet, the only things he stated here was that Hamas developed the resistance. They developed tunnels, they developed weapons, they didn't develop the tourism, they didn't develop the economy, they didn't develop, like, human rights. No, it actually became much worse after the Jews left and they became in power. So,
right.
What I say is, if Palestine would be free in this version and Hamas leaders would take over, and yeah, like right now in the West Bank and also in Gaza, Hamas are very popular, so they are likely to take over, okay? What we will see is just Gaza on a large scale. It would be a totalitarian Islamic state, just like a lot of other states which are Islamic. Like, I want you to picture Iran, and this would probably be worse than Iran.
Let me just go on, Rivka, and then I will read some super chat.
Yeah, and I also want to really point out when he's saying this has become a slogan and how they're using this, using these people who don't understand what they're saying to do their work for them, so to speak, in the public sphere, you know, in the West. very similar to the same concept, you know, that we saw a lot of fundamentalists, a lot of people who wanted to commit terrorism also come up with Islamophobia. So it becomes a de facto blasphemy law in the West. And they realize, wow, Westerners are afraid of sounding racist. So if we can convince them not to speak about this, which they were very successful, same idea here. And as much as the Hamas is a despicable terrorist organization, they really understood, I think, better than some people in the West even, how to use this woke leftist, you know, people call them useful idiots, to serve their agenda. And once again, they are getting these folks to do their dirty work for them by convincing them that somehow they're the victims of, you know, Hamas, not the Palestinian people, but Hamas is the victim. Right. And the West has, you know, these people have to support them.
Right. So Secular Psychiatrist use his 20-month membership. Wow, 20 months of membership. Thank you so much, Secular Psychiatrist, saying, Memory TV, one of the craziest channels I know. Yes. I mean, they're not crazy themselves. They just go find crazy and highlight it. But thank you so much, Secular Sakai. And then also, Audit just became a YouTube member. Audit, thank you so much for becoming a member. I appreciate that. Again, guys, we do need these super chats and memberships because, as you just saw, we've been demonetized. So, yeah, we need the super chats and memberships to be able to make sure we continue these streams, or else with all these demonetization, it just doesn't make sense to spend all this time doing this. We got another super chat from Norse Mythology saying, what should Israel do now? I think Israel should really focus, make sure that it does whatever it can to get the Abrahamic Accord happening. You know, I think that is the most essential part of any solution in the future is the Abrahamic Accords. So whatever it takes to make that a thing, I think that should be the focus. But we could have an entire stream about that at some point. Let us know if you want to do it, want us to do that. But anyways, let's watch the rest of this. Okay, so he was talking about the fact that this is the from the river to the sea is a chant in, you know, Western countries, and then it says by the American and Western public. Look how proud they are. How happy Hamas is that you guys are chanting from the river to the sea. So now he says, Palestine is free from the river to the sea. That's the slogan of the American students. Are you proud of yourself? Are you happy now? Are you happy now? Are you guys happy? You're being cited as proof for the legitimacy of Hamas by a terrorist, by a leader of a terrorist organization. American students who are in the streets chanting, you know, free, free Palestine, free Palestine from the river to the sea, Palestine should be free. You're being quoted now by a Hamas leader. And yeah, he's making up his point using you guys. Go on, Anna.
You know, what I don't understand is how these American and European students, they can find themselves on the same camp as like Bashar Assad, who also supports the Palestinians, and Kim Jong-un, who also said that Israel is like the bad guys and Palestinians are the good guys. I mean, you are putting yourself in one camp with Kim Jong-un and the worst dictators in human history.
Yeah.
They also want to burn down Western civilization as well. I mean, that's part of their, you know, thing that they talk about. And it enrages me because these are people who grew up in freedom and they spit on it. They've never lived in, especially in America, they've never lived in a situation where someone comes to take your mother away because you said the wrong thing about the government, or, you know, you're persecuted because of what you wear or don't wear. But somehow they've allied themselves with this. And what's really interesting to me about these American students these Wokistani Mujahideen, is that they believe every single thing that any other bigot says, you know. And I've brought this up many times. When the guy went into the church, the black church, and he killed those people because they were black, everyone believed him immediately. Of course he did. But when these terrorists tell you over and over and over again what it is they believe, what it is they intend to do, they do it publicly, they do it repeatedly. For some reason, these Wokistanis don't believe them. And I say this, and I've said it before, it's because they're bigots. They think that these people aren't smart enough to know themselves. Mm. They have no agency. They don't really know what they're doing. Oh, no, it's not because you want to kill Jews, or you want to wipe Israel off the map, or you want to, you know, kill other Muslims for not Musliming properly, whatever it is. No, they're too stupid, too ignorant, too savage to actually understand what they're saying. We, these woke Westerners, we know. And also, you know, they are not giving the average person in Gaza or wherever the same legitimacy. They don't necessarily deserve these same freedoms because, look, you know, you're a sad, poor savage from this Muslim country, and you don't really mean this. And it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also what I think lies behind it is like racism, but against white people, because they always stand on the blacker side. Like, this is how I feel, because like Arabs are the Middle Easterns and Jews are white, so right. You have to.
We should.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep this short because we're like, I want to show some Westerners in the streets as well, so see what this guy's referring to. Okay, and the students in European capital cities. Yeah. So it's like it's students in American cities and also in European cities. So I'm saying our Palestinian enterprise, on which there is almost a Palestinian national consensus. Even if some people must present a different opinion due to political constraints. The Palestinian consensus, or almost a consensus, is that we will not give up on our right to Palestine in its entirety. Entirety. So again, when they say Palestine, they mean all of it, including Israel. That's what they want. That's that they accept nothing less. They want nothing less. So people who are asking for ceasefire, you're asking for ceasefire with an entity that wants nothing less but the destruction of the entirety of Israel. Anna, let's finish this video first because we're behind. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. And from Rosh Hanikra, I don't know, to Ilan. Can you read this?
Eilat.
Or the Gulf of
Rosh Hanikra and Eilat.
Okay. Or the Gulf of
Aqaba.
In order to establish a common ground and a joint Palestinian plan with the other Palestinian forces. And in line with the Arab position, Hamas agreed to a completely independent Palestinian state with the 1967 borders. Oh, this is what is referring to what I said. So he's now saying, because a lot of people don't understand that Hamas is criticized by people who want the destruction of Israel to why at some point they agreed with the 1967 borders. So you think that there's pressure, like there's no pressure on Hamas to be like, oh, you know, accept the two-state solution. The pressure on Hamas is from the people within saying, like, why did you at some point agree with the two-state solution? we are only committed to the destruction of Israel. So Hamas leaders constantly are making, you know, defending themselves, saying that, no, we do want the destruction of Israel. And that was a political move at some point that we agreed with the 1967 borders. By the way, a lot of leftists constantly use that acceptance at some point to tell us that we are lying. So let's see, we are lying that Hamas wants the full destruction of Israel. So let's see what his explanation here is, that why did at some point they agree to the 1967 borders. With Jerusalem at its capital, with the right of return included. Without recognizing the legitimacy of the Zionist. This position was meant to facilitate Palestinian and Arab agreement at this stage. But without relinquishing any of our rights or any part of our land, and without recognizing Israel. Our vision remains unchanged. This is the important part. I believe that October 7 has enhanced this conviction, has narrowed the disagreements.
يعني عمقت هذه القناعة واختصرت المسافات وجعلت
and has turned the idea of liberating Palestine from the river to the sea.
فكرة تحرير فلسطين من البحر إلى النهر فكرة
into a realistic idea that has already
واقعية وبدأت وليست شيئا.
It is not something merely to be expected or hoped for.
يرتقب أو مأمول بل هي
it is part of the plan, part of the agenda.
جزء من الخطة ومن الأجندة ونحن
and we are standing on its threshold, Allah
نقف على أعتابها بإذن الله تعالى.
So two points before I bring up these other videos from these idiots. First of all, he confirmed that was a temporary stage and the main goal, which is the free Palestine from the river to the sea, which means the destruction of the entirety of Israel, was always the plan. It continued to be the plan. So this confirms all the things that we've been telling so many of these like Western leftists, that no, Hamas did not agree to the two-state solution. It did not agree to the 1967 borders. They themselves were, that was a temporary stage, but their hope of finally destroying all of Israel, that was always the plan. That was always the final plan. This was just an international move. So he just confirmed what we have been saying for years now. But also, the more disturbing part to me is the hope that they're feeding to the Palestinians, that there's victory at the end of this. Still, like after, he's saying that, oh, after October 7th, we now see more than ever how we could finally destroy the entirety of Israel. He's saying this after Israel has attacked Gaza, and look at what's happening to Gaza. Like under your leadership, what is happening? This is kind of like, I don't know, somebody being beaten up and they're like, oh, I'm getting you now. I'm going to freaking like, oh, you're so dead now. Like while you're being beaten and while you're being cornered and while your people are suffering, like you have never been in a worse position. I mean, unless you don't care about your people, which you don't. But you're being defeated. You have lost a whole portion of Gaza right now. A big part, like you have never been more defeated than now, and you act like, oh yeah, we made so close to capturing the entirety of Israel and making it all Palestine. You're selling a delusion to your people. Like how is this even believable? How are the Palestinian people could believe this after losing their home right now, after losing their schools, after losing all the infrastructure? Like, oh yeah, if we just resist just a little bit more, we're just going to now, any day now, Israel is going to fall. Go on, Rivka.
So I think that I don't think they're completely defeat. They're at their lowest point, because I think that was the point he was making about American cities and European right. cities. Is he saying, look, all of a sudden we've managed to convince the world that, you know, we're these poor, struggling, oppressed people, and that's going to give us more money, more UNRWA supplies, more aid that we can further use towards the destruction of Israel. And secondly, it's like he's almost saying, look, hey, Gazans, all we need is more of you to die so right. that we'll get a little bit closer. Because, you know, and this isn't me using these exact words, you know, Mossab Hassan Youssef, who is, you know, was father, was part of the founding people of Hamas. He has said this, and it's true. They seem to view Palestinian civilians as income, and that income that they get from dead civilians and pictures of babies and all this support from these useful idiots, they can then turn into money that they can then use to keep doing their terrorism against Israel. And I think that that's, you know, on some level, what he's saying. He's like, you know, we're successful because look, now we've managed to convince all these people and they're going to give us more money. And then that money turns into more attacks. And it's this whole cyclical thing. And I really feel like he is just saying to the world, look, we trade in Palestinian blood.
Yeah, but what I said is that they're at their lowest point if they care about the Palestinian people.
Oh, of course. Oh, they don't. I mean, that's already an established fact.
I mean, if they did. Yes, if they did. Obviously, they don't. Anna, you want to say something before we play this video?
I think that one of the main ideas behind these Westerners so much against Israel is that they're being sold the idea that Israel is the main obstacle towards peace in the Middle East. And if just Israel wouldn't occupy Palestinian lands, then everyone would be friends with each other and all the problems of the Middle East will be gone. Well, you know what? First of all, it's not true, because we see here a lot of conflicts totally unrelated to Israel, like in Sudan and Syria, the war. It just won't happen. But also what I feel is when they are chanting for a ceasefire, they basically want Israel to commit a silent suicide. This is what they want. Because once Israel would stop, just stop dealing with Hamas, with Hezbollah, would just be silent towards their attacks on Israeli territory, they would just kill us. They would slaughter us. And the West doesn't understand that once, like you see a terrorist organization that succeeded in doing something major to Israel, then other terrorist organizations and even countries like maybe Iran would come afterwards. Like they see, oh, they are succeeding. Like we must take something from Israel as well. Like we must join. We might take benefits from it.
Right.
I have one last thing to say.
Really quickly.
To piggyback on Anna. Number one, she's right. I feel like this is what the world is asking from Israel is, you know, behave like the Jews we are used to seeing, lay down and get slaughtered, and then we'll feel sorry for you after you're dead. And then the other thing, I can't remember it now, so just I lost it. So
okay,
go on.
Okay, this is why I have a notepad and a pen right next to me. Okay,
I thought of you when I forgot it. I'm like, crap, I don't have the pen.
I should. Okay. Oh, by the way, before we play this, Rivka, can you show everyone your shirt?
Yes, absolutely. I wore this shirt on purpose. It says, "Not going anywhere."
Fantastic. Love it. Okay, let's watch this. Let's watch this completely through and through before, because we're almost at the end, I want to make sure I get through all three.
Since October 7th, the Israeli military has killed more than 11,000 people in Gaza. This comes after Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. Some 1,200 Israelis were killed and more than 200 were taken hostage. People have taken to the streets in cities all over the world to protest and call for an end to the war, as well as show solidarity with Palestinians. At every protest, we've seen that queer and trans people have been an active presence. Extra attended protests in Montreal and Toronto this weekend to speak with queer and trans people on the ground and ask them why they are marching.
You know, as a queer person, I advocate for queer rights, but I think it's broader than that. We need to advocate for human rights.
I'm marching today because the siege on Gaza is killing thousands of children right now, and our own government here in...
Okay, I need to pause here, okay? There's also a flag of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You're waving there. Congratulations, guys. You're freaking morons.
Is that a Daesh flag too? That black flag?
The government here in Canada.
No, it's just a black flag.
Oh, because Canada
is complicit in funding the.
No, guys. Let's just. I just wanted to just highlight the Iranian Islam.
I saw the Syrian flag. Anyways.
Yeah.
I love how they're complicit all saying in Gaza. Yeah. Like they're getting the accent going.
All right, let me just finish this.
Complicit in funding the Israeli genocide.
My friends in Palestine, queer Palestinians, asked me to be here. They want to know that they're not alone, and they want to know that the world stands in solidarity with them.
Right now, we're in such an urgent situation, trying to put an end to this genocide, and so this just feels like a really small way that we can show up and take action together.
Our liberation as queer and trans people is bound up in the liberation of Palestinians, and it's not metaphorical. It's our government that has been calling to outlaw protests. It's our universities that are threatened to sanction unions that are support of Palestine.
A big part of the Israeli propaganda machine is pinkwashing, so claiming that Israel is some kind of safe haven in the so-called Middle East for queer people, which is not true. Gay marriage is not even legal in Israel.
I often hear those kinds of statements that, oh, well, if you were in Gaza right now, you would be killed and all of this. But I would counter that with just because someone doesn't understand the lived experiences that I live, it doesn't mean that I am for their genocide.
I still think that even if someone is homophobic, I don't think they deserve to die.
And personally, my solidarity for an occupied and oppressed people isn't based on whether they would personally like me. That's such a thin reason. You have to do better than that.
Our contingent has Palestinians at the forefront, but also indigenous people, Jewish people, trans people, folks of all genders, black folks, people of color, like who are queer and trans. Like, we are here, we are out here to support each other because that's what solidarity means and that's what this looks like.
All right, quick responses because I have two more videos and we're very close. Quick. Anna.
Like with the LGBT, he said that it is not legal here to for LGBT couples to marry. It's like not entirely true because technically the marriage here is through the religious court. So even like a Jew can't marry a Christian. Okay, it's not like exclusively against LGBT. If LGBT couple are married somewhere else, like in another country, and then they come to Israel, their marriage is totally valid.
Yeah, but the point, the main point, okay, but I don't want to get into that because I do think that Israel could do better when it comes to LGBT, but the point is that that's not even comparable to Gaza. Israel, the fact that we don't have gay marriage in Israel doesn't negate the fact that Israel is a safe haven for LGBT people in Palestine. It is a safe haven. Maybe you can't get married, but you wouldn't be killed. Okay, a safe haven from being thrown off the rooftop. That's what it means that it's a safe haven. Okay, that's what it's not like. Oh, it's not a safe haven. Israel is not a safe. This pinkwashing. Israel is not a safe haven. I was gonna get married in Gaza, but they said I couldn't. So now I went to Israel, and now I can. Oh, that's what the people mean by it being a safe haven. No, it means that in Gaza, you might get killed, and now Israelis have made it a safe haven for you to leave Gaza and come in Israel, and now you're not going to get killed. That's what they mean by a safe haven, you freaking moron. But no, Rivka, I mean, and then...
I want to highlight the hypocrisy here, which brings me back to this point about... this disguised bigotry of cultural relativism. These are Americans who have been students who have been telling us for years that, you know, if you're homophobic, if you don't want gay people to do this or that in the United States, which, by the way, only recently got gay marriage, then you are the worst human being in the world. I can't be friends with you. You must be canceled. You know, how dare you? You know, all these things. And now they're saying, oh, but if these people in Gaza are homophobic and they don't like me, yeah, that's okay. Because what they're really saying, the rest of that sentence that they didn't finish out loud, is that's just their culture. And because they're poor or they're brown or they're oppressed or whatever, that they, we can't expect people to have the same rights there because, you know, that's just the way they are. And again, I want to highlight this hypocrisy of way they view other people. It's like this weird new Orientalism or something.
Right. But I also like how they are saying that we're pinkwashing Israel, but everything about, you know, the fact that it is a safe haven in Israel, these are facts. These are facts. This is not pinkwashing. But I like how they themselves go and they reduce the torture and killing of their fellow LGBT in Gaza to like, oh, they just don't like us. Oh yeah, like they just don't like us. No, it goes beyond just not liking you, right? And I think this is a betrayal of LGBT people in Palestine. It is a betrayal. And when I say when these people don't care about Palestinians, this is exactly what I mean. Yeah. But go on, Anna, really quick, so, before we go to the next
They talked about the Israeli genocide in Gaza and the numbers, like how many Palestinians are dying. Well, I hope that more Palestinian are dying. I mean, more Hamas warriors are dying than Israelis. But what I mean is, Germany in World War II, okay, it lost a lot of civilians. It lost about 2 million civilians. It doesn't mean that there was a genocide against the Germans, and it doesn't mean that Germany was the good guys because they lost more civilians than, let's say, the United States or Britain or even Russia. No, like these were bad guys and they lost a lot of civilians. These two don't correlate. Okay, you can be both bad guy and lost a lot of lives.
Yeah. All right, let's look at this video.
Zionism is anti-Semitic. Hamas, and long live the resistance, yes. Long live the resistance. One of the greatest days of my life.
He just said October 7th is one of the greatest days of my life.
How did October 7th make you feel?
One of the greatest days in the history of decolonization.
I can't wait for you to fucking die.
Yes, dox me, please. Dox me.
Okay, that's not what doxing means. Okay, she's recording you in public. That is not what doxing means. But go on, Anna.
Like he said, decolonization. I mean, Israel retrieved from Gaza in 2005 with the best intentions to eventually have peace because they thought, oh, if we let the Gazans like have their autonomy, they won't be attacking us and so hostile to us. But it became worse. I mean, like Gaza specifically has no Israelis living in it. Before the war, it didn't have any military personnel. Then they had autonomy. They had full control. The Hamas had full control over Gaza. And now they are saying decolonization. They didn't have a colonization right there. They didn't.
Right, got it. Go on, Rivka, and then let's go to the last video.
So this video and your point about them, you know, saying reducing, you know, just not liking us in Gaza or whatever if we're gay, is just another example of overlaying this American idea about oppressed and oppressor, or American views specifically about politics, about what's going on, and putting it on every situation. It's the centering of the United States. And honestly, and I'm going to say something, I have had it up to here with these people goy-splaining to me what Zionism is, what Judaism is, you know, I've had it, you know, and these are people who are celebrating the murder of other people. And they live in a country that they've never experienced this. And the same with the thing with the gay, the LGBT. So they live in the United States, where maybe the worst thing that would happen if you were gay is, okay, before you could get fired, or occasionally people would attack you. But people weren't en masse throwing gay people from buildings. It wasn't the law in the United States. But somehow, they, because they live in a country where that's now, you could... not the worst thing happen is people say bad things about you or want you not to get married. They think that that's the same as gay people in Gaza who are being murdered, who are being tortured in jail, who are being thrown off of buildings. Shame on these people. They are despicable narcissists.
Perfect.
I mean, Israel is so pluralistic in this regard. I had several teachers who were openly gay and telling their students that they are gay or lesbian. I had actually two lesbian teachers. And yeah, that means that here in Israel, you can actually be open about it and not fear that people will harm you or feel you will be fired for that.
You can adopt a baby if you're gay. There's gay parents.
Yes. And there's the greatest gay pride parade in the Middle East happens in Israel, in Tel Aviv. All right, so let's do this. Okay, so this is a university. Rivka, who is this? This is a university professor, right? Like, what is the context of this?
This woman who is speaking, this is a rally in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And this woman is a professor at Rutgers University, which is right near Philadelphia in New Jersey. So this woman is actually a professor at an American university, and she's speaking at a rally, and you'll hear what she says.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
Even required the leader of empire of global superpower to lie, to tell the world that he saw pictures that never existed.
Shame!
To tell the world lies in order to convince you of a truth you already know. He got to get up and lie that the numbers were not true. He had to get up and
shame.
Now the Senate, rather than pass an immediate bill that ends all military support for Israel, they pass resolutions attacking students, activists who have stood up bravely. This is not a war on Hamas. This is a war on all Palestinians.
I don't think Hamas and all these other terrorists who've seen in their wildest dreams could have wished for anything better than all of these Americans coming out and protesting and supporting terrorism like this. Again, chanting from the river to the sea. They're saying they're thirsty for Palestinian blood. They're thirsty. Like, they want this war. Like, the Israelis, they were just waiting for this war just because they just want Palestinians dead. That's how they see Israel. It's unbelievable.
Anyways, people have said this before, and it's true. If Israel wanted to kill every Palestinian in Gaza, they could have done it 100 times over for years and years and years. The fact that they didn't means that they don't want to.
Exactly. I'm so shocked. And think about her students and that this next generation is going to believe in these ideas. And like, this generation thinks that these ideas are progressive ideas. This is what actually shocks me. At least, like, I think that a lot of terrorist organizations, they want to be extreme, like they want to take Sharia very seriously, and at least like they know that they are extreme, okay? Like they try to do everything according to Sharia and so on. But these people, they don't understand what they are saying, are very, very extreme ideas about like wiping out the entire state of Israel. It's more than 7 million Jews living here. And they don't understand it. They clearly don't.
I think that your point is really valid, because a lot of these people have this magical idea of what this means, and also that they are learning all the lot of this stuff. And I have to say, in lots of Qatari money coming into these universities, and has been for years. So I don't know if that's a conspiracy that people say about, you know, why this is happening, but it's definitely a factor, I would say. You know, correlation, you know, it doesn't equal a correlation, but it's definitely true. And also the idea that they are, you know, progressive. Islamism is a supremacist ideology. And all of these people are constantly saying, oh, white supremacy, supremacist ideology. Oh, we have to fight against it. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. They are aligning themselves with a supremacist ideology, which is as far right as you could possibly be in terms of freedoms and the ideas about Western civilization. And I'm going to quote Bill Maher here, you know, like, Western civilization has basically given these people everything they hold dear. Women's rights, freedom of expression, freedom from arbitrary authority, scientific method, free expression, all of these things. And he made a joke. He said, oh, please, somebody stop us before we enlighten again. You know? And so here they are in a free country founded on enlightenment values, allying themselves with the most supremacist, far-right, fascistic organizations in the world. And they don't see it because they're in love. They are fetishizing these people.
One second.
Yeah.
Yeah. One second, Anna. Anna, just a second, guys. Before we end this show, I need you to guys make because people might be leaving right now. I need you to make sure you like the stream. Nobody is allowed to leave the stream without liking it, because we need this. Like you just saw that we were demonetized, right? So when we get demonetized, we also get deprioritized. That means like less people will end up seeing the stream. So we need to undo that by getting you guys to like the stream. And also, once the stream is over, please leave a comment under the show. Those really, really help. And also, please recommend the channel. Go tell people to come and subscribe to the Atheist Republic. Share our videos, everything you can. None of this costs anything, and it really helps us grow. Go ahead, Anna.
I think what is also disturbing is that these progressives, they use the same terminology that the terrorists use, like resistance or Free Palestine, but they don't really understand the meaning behind what the terrorists are saying. Like, resistance is not a peaceful protest in Jerusalem. No, it's like making terrorist attacks in Israeli territory. It's killing Jews. It's
kidnapping a 9-month-old baby. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's kidnapping. It's also like launching rockets on civilians. And this is what resistance is for them. And leftists don't understand it, because resistance, it sounds so progressive. Like it's a liberation movement. And this is what drives me nuts about these leftists. This specific thing that they use, like they also like chant intifada and things like that. Please just research what this word means. Make a quick Google search.
By the way, before we go, I just want to say there were endless number of videos that I could have shown when it comes to these leftist Westerners protesting in the streets. I just picked three, but we could just be here for the next 12 hours. Even without commentary, I could just show you videos after videos after videos. of these idiots saying, not knowing that while acting like they're stopping, trying to stop a genocide, they are actually supporting a genocide. Anyways,
there's also there's so many of these videos where some people are saying what river, what sea, they don't know.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what intifada means? No. There's one guy in England, they asked him that, and he said, like a true Brit, well, to be honest, I just picked up this sign at the table over there. I don't really even know, you know. So yeah. So not only are they saying things that they, you know, that have actual real world consequences for human beings, but they're admitting they don't know what they're talking about, but they're doing it anyways.
Right. All right, guys, make sure, again, we need to go. We're going to be here again with you guys soon. So make sure you subscribe and hit the bell notification so you can see when we're going live. Because if you just subscribe, YouTube will not always tell you when we're live. You also need to hit the bell notification. So make sure you do that and like the stream. And until next time, bye.
Yalla, bye.